Appreciate that. You know what? It's really nice to be able to go on vacation and know that you can hand it off to somebody in capable hands, and they were capable, weren't they? Yeah, okay, all right. I just wondered if you guys were here. I thought maybe I was watching the TV set. Anyhow, I appreciate that. We missed you all. In May, Debbie and I took a short vacation with our granddaughter. Every time one of our grandchildren turned 9, we take them to Disneyland, to California, and the beach, and SeaWorld, and all that kind of thing. That was fun, and, you know, revitalized us. But this vacation and family conference, first week we went on vacation, the second we went to a family conference, and it really felt like we got back on our feet. I think, you know, in reviewing, building this building took a bunch out of a lot of us. And I don't know if you've ever had a building project or some kind of thing, some where you put in a lot of heavy labor. It seems like it takes a long time to recover, doesn't it? And it's been over a year, and I still see some of the people that were involved in that still recovering from that. So anyhow, Deb and I and many others got pretty exhausted, and it's really great to get back in the saddle again. We went up to Prince Edward Island and the East Coast through Maine and up through New Brunswick and went to Niagara Falls for our 35th wedding anniversary, and then came back to Michigan for a conference, and went over to Lake Michigan. And we're water people, so we just love going to all these little harbors and that kind of thing. In fact, you know, I don't know how you are, but every time I go to some place like that, I start dreaming about what if I lived here, and I trap lobsters for a living and that kind of, you know, just love to do that. So anyhow, it's a lot of fun, and then pretty soon reality strikes and we come back. So anyhow, I want to thank you, because you actually supported part of that vacation, not only the conference but also the vacation that was a gift from you for the building, building the building. You gave a gift to us, a gift to Clyde and Carolyn. So I appreciate that. Thank you. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. If you're fairly new here, I am going through the letter to the Philippians from Paul, and we're up to verse 10. Paul actually is giving us a challenge to know Christ. That's his goal, and we're going to take a look at that goal. And in Philippians 3:10, it says this, that I may know him. Now, you know what's interesting is about this time that Paul writes this, he's in his 70s. Early 70s, I think, and his solid goal is to get to know Christ in a deeper and better way. And Paul writes this large section in Philippians. It started out right from the beginning of chapter 3 on through, and we're verse 10, and he's pounding away and pounding away about counting all things lost. And, you know, I think if he's pounding away at that, it's something that we have to look at. It's got to be pretty important. For me, in the beginning of becoming a Christian, I found myself a little confused when the first time I read that I may know him. Because I learned my Bible, and I learned my theology, and I learned my Greek, and I studied the kings and the prophets and the Old Testament and the New Testament. But I became confused by what I was actually to do to know Christ. I remember thinking to myself, how can I know Christ when I can't physically carry on a conversation with him? How can I have this intimate relationship? Have you ever been there? How can I know about him? But knowing him personally as like a family member or as my friend was a little hard to understand. Even though there were certain aspects I felt that way, there were certain aspects I also didn't feel that way. And so Paul today talks about knowing him like I can know my next door neighbor. And Paul insists that it can be done. But he's saying to know him is attached to giving everything up that we count as strengths within ourselves, independent of God. Are you following me on that? I was mumbling my words a little bit. I must have drank too much caffeine. Let me just say that again. Knowing him is attached to giving everything up in our lives that we count as a strength independently of God. In order to really get to know him. And I've come to the place over the years that I don't think there is anything more important to me than to know Christ. And I look back and I think, is that age or is it maturity? Is it being in the Word a lot? Maybe it's realizing that nothing else satisfies. I don't know, as you get older, you've been introduced to futility for so long in life, pretty soon you realize the world just doesn't have a whole lot to offer. And maybe it's being real and honest with myself. Maybe it's other people being real and honest with me. Because I'm in Christ and not because I'm great or I have anything really to offer. Giving up those things that we hold on to are not easy to give up. You know, for me, I thought, okay, what is it that I have had to give up? And I'm sure the list would be hundreds of items, but I think knowing my theology, I've had to let that go is a real strength. Being a good dad, being a teacher, being a good husband, being a visionary, having good verbal skills, except when I drink too much coffee. My education, my spiritual gifts that I can hold proudly to. Do you understand what you hold on to sacredly in your own life? Those things that you hold on to that give you value that have absolutely nothing to do with God. Counting your talents or your gifts that keep you from God and keep you from drawing close to Him, we have to give it up. I remember in my early years training as a pastor, it's a laugh to me now because it was from one side to a completely opposite side. I dreamed about growing a reasonably large church with lots of people in it, maybe even a coffee bar. Now, I came from Seattle, and so I went to the second established Starbucks and had my first latte years and years ago, about 20-some years ago, and down to Pike Place Market, if you've ever been to Seattle, where the first Starbucks was, and I drank a latte, and I thought, man, this is going to catch on. And right then, I thought, man, I want to put a coffee bar in a church. And that was long before it became the guru thing to do. And I wanted to be able to be in a church with a relaxed atmosphere. You know, a lot of times a church isn't very relaxed, and I wanted to have a place where it's just relaxed, where I could preach in jeans rather than in a suit and tie and have lots of fellowship and have an impact in the community. But at some point in my life, as I dreamed these things, I realized that the dream was not about God, it was about my value. You know what I'm saying? Do you have those kind of dreams? And it was my own selfish desires to be great or to feel like somehow I'm somebody. And after years of this grief and failure in my life of trying that, I finally surrendered it to God. And I even remember at one point I was laying in bed and I leaned over to Deb and I said, I am done. I'm not going to go into the ministry. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to work for a living and give my money to God for the kingdom and just stay out of all that kind of business because I just don't think God wants me there. That's the conclusion I came to, and I think that's exactly what God was waiting for in my life because it was only about, what, 2 or 3 weeks later that Clyde hammered me about starting this church. And I look back and realize the joke's on me. Because we have a larger church, we have lots of people, we have a coffee bar. We have a relaxed atmosphere. I preach in jeans, and if you don't like it, you know what? We have lots of fellowship, and I think we have a real impact in our community. And so the very things that I dreamed that I thought would give me value, I gave up, and God gave them back to me as a joke. In some senses, are you following me? And I think that's what it is about counting all things lost, when we can get out of ourselves and let it go and let it be about God rather than ourselves. That's when God has an ability to use us. It took clearing the deck of my own foolishness, my own great dreams to impress God. Coming to the Father, surrendering it all, my hopes, my dreams, my worth, my value, and having to acquire God esteem rather than self-esteem. That's really where it's at. And so now I look at it and I think, I spend all my time wanting to spend daily in the Word. There's times when I come into my study and I sit down and I open my Bible and I begin to read and I begin to read, and next thing an hour and a half's gone by and I keep reading, and all I want to do is read because I want to know Christ. You know, it's interesting how it brought me to a place. Life has brought me to a place where everything is a loss. And many of you have told me that you've come to the same place. Many of you have told me that you've surrendered your life to Christ, that you've realized the world's a bit futile. And this is a time where we learn that God is God and everything else is not God. And you've come to me and said, you know what, I've just kind of surrendered this, and all I want is Christ. And you know what? I want to hang around you. Don't you want to hang around people like that? They really feel like Christ is the center of their life. Today we're going to hear Paul say some amazing things. So I want to back up to verse 7 and gain the context, because it's been a few weeks since I've been up here, and kind of go back through those and then go on to 7. But what things were gain or profitable to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellency, or for the greatness of knowing of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish or garbage or dung, that I might gain or win over Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from law. And I put the word performance because that's how we look at it in our present culture. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from performance, but that which comes through the faith of Christ, or Christ's faith. And I went over that the last time we preached. The righteousness which is from God by faith. Now, he gives us four goals that he has. And you have to decide this morning whether you want to borrow those same goals he has. Because these are the goals. He's looking at the end of his life. He's in Rome. He's in prison. He may lose his life. He may keep it. And this is what he gives in verse 10. That I may know him. And when he says that I may know him, it means to come to an understanding by knowledge and by experience. And the power of his resurrection, that he wants to know the power of God in his life, where he says, even in Ephesians, that he says, take on the power of God because of God's power. And the fellowship or partnership of his sufferings. He wants to understand and be able to participate in the sufferings that Christ suffered, because that's how he gets to know him more, is live like him. And having the same likeness to his death. And you even wonder, in some senses, when Paul went before Caesar to plead his case, that when they said, no, your head's coming off, if he didn't say, please crucify me. Please crucify me. And they lopped off his head. If by any means I may attain or arrive to the resurrection from the dead. Now, it's not the regular resurrection that we have when Christ comes back to earth, but there's a little word in front of resurrection that says out. Resurrection. And I think what he's talking is about the coming rapture, that he thought that he would live long enough to see Christ come back and be carried up in the air with the rest of the body of Christ. And so those were the four things that he desired: to know him, to suffer with him, to be conformed even to his death, and to be able to obtain to the rapture, to be able to arrive at that time when Christ calls us home. So I want to look this morning just for a few minutes about that I may know him, that I might come to understand him by knowledge and by experience. It means, my friends, that we come to know him more and more, even over a period of time. By knowledge and life experience, we get to know him a little more and more. And so if you're fairly new in the faith, you may be asking the same questions I did. Well, how do we get to know him? How do we have a relationship? But as you begin to grow in Christ, it becomes more evident. And there's two ways to grow in Christ. Don't read your Bible and make it a really, really long time. Or read your Bible and pray and make it a shorter time that you get to know Christ. And then, as I said, that we come to a place where we surrender things to him because they really, it doesn't matter, does it? When we get to heaven, does it matter whether you had no influence on society or you had total influence? I don't think it matters. I think it matters to God. And like I said, Paul was 70 years old, and he's still expressing he wants to know Christ. And so this morning, we're going to do the Lord's Supper. We usually do it the last Sunday of every month, but I wasn't here, so we're going to do it today so you can prepare your heart. If the worship team comes forward and the people get ready to pass out, I just want to say a couple things. An old friend of mine from my college days today is candidating to be a pastor of a church. Now, he's never been a pastor before, and he's close to my age, and he would really like to do that. And he asked me last week, what did I think about that? How do I tell someone who's never been a pastor what it's like to be a pastor for 20 years? What do I tell him? If he becomes a pastor, he's going to make mistake after mistake after mistake. He's going to have to learn how to guide a group of people where the people will actually like him. There will be great times of discouragement, and there will be great times of fulfillment. He will have to learn how to motivate a group of people. In order for him to know how to be a great pastor, he would have to have the same walk that I walked, or Clyde walked, or Bob Hills walked, where you've been a pastor before. As one young man described to John Maxwell at a leadership conference, he went up to John and he said, John, I want to be just like you. I want to be a teacher of leadership and have the same wisdom that you have and offer to the people. And John looked at him for a few minutes and he said, are you ready to go through what I've gone through to get where I am? And that's just the way it is to know Christ. It takes a walk. It takes time. It takes growth. It takes maturity. But most of all, it takes coming to the place where you know you have to cast aside those things that you think make you great. That's the door to knowing Christ and knowing him better. Because Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, and God is working in us. So the question for you as we sing a worship song is, how badly do you really want to know Christ? Is how badly do you want to know Christ? Let's worship together. This may be the day for you that you really do want to turn it over to Christ. Because you know, each time that I get up here or someone else gets up here and we have church, I know that people have talked to me later and said, this is a day in which I wanted to make a commitment. Every week that happens. And I want to give you that opportunity. Clyde and I are going to be up here at the end of the service and a few others. And if you'd like to come up and pray or talk with us, need a little bit of counseling, we'll be up here in the front. So you could make that. But I want to finish with just the idea of Christ and Him crucified. That in the upper room, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which He also delivered to you, that the Lord on the same night in which He was betrayed took bread. He said, 'Take, eat. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's remember Christ together. And then He took the cup, which He said was the new covenant in my blood. "Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." So let's remember Christ together. Go ahead.